A man who follows these things particularly closely is Brian Curtis, editor at large with The Ringer and part of this program from the very outset. Brian, welcome.
How are you, Jared?
Not too bad. What have you made of the day?
I liked your phrase, extraordinary moment of misjudgment, because so much of the Super Bowl is, in fact, such a moment of misjudgment. It's been fascinating. You know, I think as a media member, this is incredibly fun. And I don't want to ever say that you and I would, for a moment, be sad to be here, because we are wonderfully lucky to be here. But some of this is to be endured rather than, you know, sort of actually enjoyed, I think. And, you know, I also think when it comes to journalism at the Super Bowl, I said this the other day, getting sent to the Super Bowl as an American reporter is 90% about status. I've made it, right?
Yep.
And it's 10% about actual written product that you will produce that will enlighten anyone to what's going to happen in the game. And I think we've hit about that balance this week.
I think my observation today was the beat reporters who are doing the serious reporting around the football game were largely absent from the media gatherings. It was to fuel the spectacle, as it were.
That's right. And I know you're a wrestling fan.
Yes.
And they really did owe a lot to WWE last night. I mean, there were catwalks with players coming down them and, you know, a loud announcer on the stage. We were supposed to be interviewing people, but there was a guy on the speaker. There was a crowd in the stands like you'd see at a wrestling event watching us interview the players. Just truly an amazing event. And you're right. It's about getting people excited, and it's about hype, and it's about something to do. And on that level, it's probably a success.
That was the great curiosity to me, that 10,000 people would be put into the arena and there was nothing to see. So after you do your entrances and your monologue, they at least get down to wrestling. So you did the entrances and the monologue, and then everyone gets sent home.
Yeah, I wanted to tell these people, you might think there's something glamorous about sports writing in interviewing athletes. Trust me when I say, in this venue, there is not. And you're going to be seeing the backs of our heads, and they are going to not be answering, doing their best not to answer our questions.
There was a post-game show to opening night where there were five sitting around on the NFL Network dissecting essentially what wasn't said. They did have the good grace to sort of preface everything with, there was nothing of any substance said tonight.
Which kind of ruled out the analysis that then they would do at that point, yeah. But I'm sure they continued.
So the players are in on the joke, though, aren't they?
Yes.
It is, Sports Illustrated described it as a circus, but it's a circus that there is that... They're glad to be a part of it. This is the build up to the grand final.
In a way, the less serious the questions are, the easier it is for them.
Yeah.
Right? Because the last thing they want is to be grilled about a particular aspect of gameplay or their personal life or their relationship with a teammate. Right? They want silly things. There was a clown there, by the way, a media member who I actually know from Dallas, dressed in a clown suit. And I noticed that the media members talked to the players for about 9 minutes, and then they turned and said, well, why don't we interview you, because you're wearing a clown suit.
Right.
So I think in the players, it's kind of weirdly a safe space, because they don't mind wacky questions. Wacky questions don't matter. It's tough, thoughtful, you know, little questions that get them.
The CBS press conference, so Channel 7's our free-to-air broadcaster in Australia with the football, so they had a press conference where everybody was introduced, including the producer and the director, the on-air talent, the off-air talent, the administration. It was such a big cast that they couldn't all fit on the show, the podium. But Tony Romo, all the questions were for Tony Romo. So star quarterback pulls a pin on his career a fraction early.
That's right.
To take this opportunity as the color man. And then absolutely excels at the key moment last week.
I've never seen anything like this. Both his performance last week, where he seemed to have the second sight and was divining the plays before they happened. I've just never seen that happen in a broadcast. On the other hand, I've also never seen this, where the announcer of the Super Bowl is a top five storyline at the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And as you and I were sitting in that press conference together today, I think Tony Romo is as in demand this week as anybody except maybe Tom Brady, and you could make an argument for Todd Gurley, but I don't think so, among the players in the game. I've never seen that before.
Nope.
And I'm too young for Beatlemania, and I think you are too, Jared. That was like Beatlemania tonight. A woman from Extra, the tabloid show, was, what's your hype song, Tony? You know, I guarantee Troy Aikman didn't get that question the last time Fox had the Super Bowl. I don't know that, you know, there's been this kind of pop culture interest in an announcer.
Yeah, and Jim Nantz, who's one of the great voices of American sport, I spent a little bit of time around him in the aftermath, and all he was getting was questions about Tony Romo.
I know, and here's a guy who's been on network television here for 34, almost 40 years, and all the questions are, what's Tony Romo really like? Mm. Can you tell us, Jim? And you notice that Tony kind of made an exit after about 40 minutes of questioning, and Jim was left to answer questions about Tony Romo.
So he described it as sort of as his novelty act is... he didn't want to delve too deeply into it, which I think is probably around not setting an absurd, although the bar's already absurd come Sunday, but almost trying not to feed that, as he was self-deprecating to a fault. He described it as guessing and as the novelty act. It was it was a pretty good approach, I thought, just to try to not get wound up in something which is a real thing.
Totally, because the nature of the press conference is like we were all visiting a psychic. And, you know, I said, Tony, tell me about my life. Tony, will I have good success at my job over the next couple of years? And he actually did predict the exact score of the game. And I don't think he was kidding, by the way. He said that it was going to be 28-24.
And the team on 24 would have the ball at the end but wouldn't score.
Right, right. He didn't tell us the winner, but he did give that incredibly specific detail.
Yeah, yeah. So is this a typical build-up to a Super Bowl, or does this have elements which have sort of elevated or skewed it in different directions?
I think it's pretty typical. I think what's different is the announcement that we just talked about, and the fact that the Patriots, every time they do this, and this is time number 9 in the Tom Brady era, it just accrues a little more, I don't know if it's heft, but a little more edge, because they're such a divisive team. And they've also made it their theme to be divisive about the media. Even the I don't know if you saw this, the official Patriots account was tweeting out a clip of someone on one of the Fox shows here saying that the Patriots dynasty was over. This is the official team account, is now trolling media members. So I think from our standpoint, I've never seen it be adversarial like that on purpose. You know, you hear a comment here, but that's sort of the official line, is adversarial with the media. We're going to win this in spite of you.
That dynamic, so they claimed underdog status for themselves. Now, whether that was to motivate their own team or how exactly to set it, and they were literal underdogs coming into those two games, but there is a resentment around them daring to claim underdog status, which I've sort of been reading.
They've only been underdogs a handful of times since like 2016 in any game. So, you know, I think you were helping me, you know, understand the Patriots are sort of like, was it Hawthorne? Yeah, and it's sort of like Hawthorne came in every season and said, we don't have a chance. We're never going to win the grand final again. That's sort of what this act is like.